Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
What do you think is the most useless piece of clothing in your closet right now?
Most useless piece of clothing in my closet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some old jacket or so. Oh, no. I know what it is. I have a 3/4 length, like, nice overcoat, like, for winter, but it's not for, like, real winter because it's, like, suede. Like, what do you do with that thing?
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. It's like a duster. Is that what it's called?
Almost. Like, yeah. It's not that long, but, you know, it's like a longer one, though. It's something you have never seen me in.
When you describe it,
yes,
what I imagine is terrible. Because I imagine that you are a flasher and you keep your suede duster in the closet for when you do your weird secret double life that I don't know anything about. And then one day CNN will come to me and be like, you didn't see any flags? I'm like, my gosh, one time he talked about his suede duster hanging in his closet.
It's not that long. It's actually very stylish. It's a beautiful coat. Mm-hmm. I just never have anywhere to wear it to. It's really not all that much my style either.
When you're standing out somebody's window, that's where you wear it to.
All right.
Oh my gosh. So obviously with the pandemic, things have changed a lot when it comes to clothing and what you wear, things like that.
Of course.
My husband has decided that now is the time that he needs to buy all new suits.
Oh, but it's...
Suits, plural.
I would think that they're cheap right now, so that might be smart.
But to me, this is so dumb because, all right, you need maybe one nice new suit. But he works from home now, like permanently for, I mean, who knows how long at this point,
sure.
You know? So he gets up every morning and he sits in our bedroom at a folding table that is now his office, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't understand why he would spend all this money on these new suits that he has literally nowhere to wear them.
So he doesn't wear them for work at home?
On the Zoom?
Yeah.
No.
So
no, he wears now. It's like pretty casual. I mean, he'll still wear, honestly, he still dresses pretty nice. He'll still wear a button-down shirt and khakis.
Sure. Yeah.
But
he's not wearing a tie.
He's not wearing a tie.
He's not wearing the jacket.
No, not anymore.
Yeah. I mean, fiscally, I think he's just smart to buy them right now because the industry's in trouble, right? So he's probably, you know, getting a good price on them as typically as he would. And, you know, if he's working out and doing any of the health stuff at home, he probably feels like he's in pretty good shape right now.
But do you think that there's ever going to be a need for him to wear a suit on a regular basis again? I don't think we go back to that world.
I don't think that he'll need 6 of them in a week, 5 of them in a week like they used to, right? I don't think he'll be on the road like that all the time.
No.
I think maybe 1 or 2 a week. So, you know, he probably didn't need 10 new ones or whatever, you know, he ran out and got. But he's got idle time on his hands, right? So, I mean, that's it. You're sitting around and you're going, okay, what am I doing with my life? You've already done the projects, right? You made a puzzle with your kids. You did this, you did that. You've been home a long time. Now he's shopping.
Now he's going to buy a suit.
Now he's shopping.
You're right. You know what I'm thankful for?
What's that?
That he doesn't have a suede, creepy duster in their closet for when you decide that you're going to be a flasher.
He'd look good in it.
I think for every parent, your goal is always to have your kids eat healthier. And even for you, especially in the new year, it's Anna and Raven. Alana Eck is the CEO and founder of Stylish Spoon. You can visit her online at stylishspoon.com. She's also a healthy food influencer. Alana, how do you, like, sneaky make your kids eat healthy without them even knowing it?
Right. Fool me. That's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I want to say to start is that we have a lot of healthy goals for the new year for all of us. You know, we've had all these months of pandemic eating. We might have been developing bad habits. And now we don't want to forget about our kids and creating new habits. So I sort of believe that it shouldn't always be sneaky. Like, yes, I'm going to give you 3 tips right now where you can trick your kids a little bit. But I also think that, like, it's always good to have salad on the table at every meal so that your kids just see that that's a part of what a healthy meal looks like. In terms of the three tips, my number one is make fruits and veggies the appetizer for every meal, because that's when everyone is hungriest. Have an appetizer that is just a fruit or a veggie out. I do this at every meal for my kids.
That's good. That's smart. It might
be, it's brilliant, really.
Yeah. Also, we eat with our eyes. Everyone does, grown-ups, kids. But make it pretty. Like, there have been times when my kids come home from school and I was on, you know, work meetings, or I was at my bakery and I run in. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare something in advance. I put a cute napkin, or I put it in a cute bowl and just popped, you know, store-bought baby carrots in it. And my daughter walked in one day and I had unicorn napkins, and she was like, "Nice napkins, Mom." And it made her more excited to eat whatever I had there.
My daughter, my little one, she's 2 years old. She won't eat like any kind of fruit, but I put it in the shape of Mickey Mouse's head. And I'm like, "We're going to eat Mickey Mouse."
She put a smiley face on that thing, right?
She's like, "Oh, Mickey, Minnie, I love Minnie." And then she still won't eat it, but she's excited for the fact that it looks like Mickey or
sure.
Minnie.
Right. All right, let's destroy Mickey.
Okay, then the second tip I have is to sneak in more nutrients. Kids can't hate what they don't know is in there. So if you have a really picky eater, but say your family likes to eat pasta with tomato sauce, try swapping out chickpea pasta, which is really high in protein, and add carrots, pureed steamed carrots, into your pasta sauce. Your kids will not know what's in there, and it adds tons of fiber and beta carotene.
I'm 100% going to do that. We have a staple pasta in our house. Yeah,
I would never get past my wife. I don't know.
It adds a little bit of sweetness into it. It doesn't change the color of it that much. You can add a little extra garlic. Some tricks, if you don't want to steam and puree the carrots yourself, you can buy those kids' pouches of pureed veggies or use pureed frozen veggie purees. Another thing I do is you can add anything into smoothies, and my kids love smoothies. So you could add in frozen cauliflower. You can add in kale. We do another smoothie that has oats, almond milk, dates, banana, and spinach. And you could give it a cute name, and we can add lots of nutrients into smoothies. So I think that those are a really great one for sneaking in more nutrients.
Yeah. All great advice.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
My last tip is to add healthy treats. Like, I really believe in the 80-20 principle of healthy eating. 80% really healthy foods, 20% fun foods. And that's where things like the baked goods at Stylish Spoon come in. You know, they're healthy baked goods, but they taste really delicious. They're packed with nutrients like omega-3s and fiber in our baked oatmeal cups. Our chocolate chip cookies are made with almond flour. They have 7 grams of plant-based protein per cookie. You can make some of your own healthy treats. You can try the recipe on our website for granola balls, and it's just made with peanut butter, or you could do sun nut butter, oats. You put in flax seeds, and it has chocolate chips in there. And that's like one of the things, if you add like mini chocolate chips, it doesn't add a lot of sugar, but it really makes kids excited about what they're eating because, you know, chocolate.
No, those are delicious. My wife makes those all the time, actually. And she is making them today. She didn't know that, but she's making them today now. I'm hungry.
Alana Eck, she is a healthy food influencer. You can follow her on Instagram at Stylish Spoon, or you can head to her website, stylishspoon.com. Thank you, Alana.
Thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you. It's Hannah and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you're a top of the pen biter, that is all I need to know about
you. Is it happening to your pens over there?
It's happening to my pens.
Look at this. It's happening over here, too. And I said to myself, did our boss all of a sudden become a gross pen biter?
Who was doing this? I went, during the songs, I went and I inspected all the pens here in the studio.
I'm looking in the room right now, in the other room, through the glass here. So if you're in the studio here with Anna and I, you can see through the room to our producer's room. And there are two guys in there right now. And one of them appears to be an animal because he's got a pen right by his mouth. It's not him. You're looking at the wrong one. It's him. It's him. Look at him. It's John.
You cannot eat our pens.
Evil John.
There is a pandemic going on.
And you know what else is happening?
What?
He's chewing these pens and he's leaving them everywhere.
I don't understand.
Like, how is it in my pen cup? It's in your pen cup, and he's got a pen in his mouth in the other room right now. It's disgusting.
Are you just going around eating people's pens
clearly,
all around the studio?
Clearly.
We have arrows on the floor to tell us which way to walk.
Yeah.
We have to sanitize our hands every time we walk in and out of the studio. You know, God forbid we don't wear a mask within 5 feet of our microphones, but he's eating pens.
He's chewing
and
pens.
He's distributing them around the studio.
And not only is he eating the pens, but now we have pens with caps. So he's eating the cap. And then once he's done and digested the cap, now he's moving on to the regular pen.
That is all I need to know about you.
Like, you got a real problem in there, John. I'm not touching that pen again. Now we need, and you know pens are in short supply right now in the building. So, like, we need a box of pens now. And all we have left is the crap pens in the supply room. I don't want those pens.
Oh, my God. I didn't expect it to go this way. I can't believe you said
I can't believe you mentioned it.
Because I noticed it. I was like, what is happening to all my pens? Now, here's the thing.
It's in the last week or two.
Like where I sit, my studio, where my microphone is, my little desk area. Yeah. Nobody else sits here. This is just my little area. This is where I broadcast from. Now, I've noticed, I'm like, these pens are my pens. So is he taking the pens?
He's coming over here for a deal. right. It's like a buffet. He's bruising the line. Same thing. This is my cup of pens. Listen, everybody knows that.
Maybe you don't know you're a pen biter, but you should try to pay a little more attention now more than ever. Because if you are a pen biter, that's all I need to know about you. You're grounded,
John. You know what?
John.
I'm going to blow up his spot right now. I'm going to do it. This is not like me, but I'm going to blow up his spot right now. Okay? So I'm not sure if you know this. Uh-oh. All right? But John, because Sean is a smoker, John has been going out and sneaking himself some smokes is what he's been doing here. And I don't think his wife is aware of this.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So now he has a burgeoning habit that he's let back into his life. That he didn't even, look at them. Look at them. He's definitely in trouble now in the other room.
No.
So this is what he's doing. So he's still
eating the pens to help his smoking
and
habit.
And he's still in denial, so he's not buying them. So he's just taking them from Sean is what he's doing. And so when Sean's not giving him one or whatever, what is he doing? He's chewing pens.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been eye-opening.
You know what? I typically am not the guy to do that, but this is disgusting.
That wasn't cool.
You know what? These are my pens.
It's true.
Wasn't cool.
Yeah, Raven has one purple pen that he is so overprotective of.
It's true.
And I just looked at it, and I'm like, yep, it's got bite marks on the top of it.
I can't believe it. That's disgusting. You know what? You reap what you sow. Yeah. You reap what you sow, John. That's
all
what you
I
got.
Need to know about you. We've all learned something this morning. Made an alarming discovery over the weekend, and it's so strange because it's a thing that I noticed about my husband, but oddly enough, I also noticed it last week during President Biden's inauguration with him. It's Anna and Raven. So picture it, Raven. Raven, my husband and I, we don't get to go on too many date nights.
Right, of course.
But this past weekend, my mom was available to watch the girls, and I was like, you know what? Like, let's go have a romantic dinner somewhere.
Oh, good for you guys. Huh? You were like, we're going to do something. It's going to be lovely and beautiful.
So we're sitting at the restaurant, and we're sitting catty corner in this romantic little corner table.
There's a candle. You're gazing into each other's eyes.
And you could, like, smell the fire from, like, the wood-burning brick stove, and, like, it's like one of those moments where we have like the glass of Cabernet, and it was really nice. And after being married 16 years, we don't get too many of these nights with two small kids. You
makes
know?
You tingle.
Yeah,
feels real good.
So he's, you know, we're ordering our meals and everything, we're smiling and we're laughing, and he takes over and he reaches and he holds my hand. Now I don't know about you, but my husband doesn't hold my hand that much.
Wow.
Yeah,
so it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And you know, I'm having a great time and I'm holding his hand, and I look down, I go, where's your wedding ring?
What? Wait a minute, what?
Yeah. I go, where's your wedding ring? So this is what he said.
Because I have really bad eczema and it was hurting my hands.
How long has it been?
Since what?
You stopped wearing your ring?
Almost 2 months.
He hasn't been wearing his wedding ring for the last 2 months, and
wow.
I never noticed. And he says it's because of the eczema.
Wow.
And then we continue.
What happens to your finger when you wear the ring?
Dry, itches, cracks, burns, hurts bad. It's like a really bad rash. It's called eczema.
It is true. It does exist. It's out there. A lot of people have it, and they do suffer from it. So.
No, I get it.
In case you thought he made it up.
I didn't think he made it up. And I know he has bad eczema.
Right.
But never in our 16 years married has my husband went months without wearing a wedding ring. And the truth be told is that because he works from home now, obviously because of the pandemic, we spend so much time at home.
Sure.
I mean, I don't expect him to wear it around the house all the time. But the fact that we were out on a romantic date night and he like didn't even cross his mind like, hey, maybe I should suck it up.
Put it on tonight.
But wear my wedding ring out.
Let my hands hurt anyways because I'll do it to prove my love.
And I've realized lately that this is kind of a thing with some people where they don't wear their wedding rings anymore. And during the inauguration, when President Biden put his hand on the Bible,
okay.
I don't know what it is, but it caught my attention too. I go, Where's this ring?
So you were looking for the most eligible bachelor? That's what you were looking for?
I mean, at that point?
Well, Paul didn't wear his, so maybe I'm back on the market. Look, the president doesn't have one either.
Well, he doesn't wear his ring, so I Googled it. Doesn't President Biden wear his wedding ring?
Right.
And there wasn't a whole lot recent about it, but I saw that back in 2008 it was a big deal that he didn't wear his wedding ring, and he just says sometimes he doesn't wear it. But don't you think if you're out on a date night, or, I don't know, you're being sworn in as president, maybe you should wear your wedding ring to show some respect to your wife?
He wants to keep options open, all right? This is for good negotiations with Angela Merkel, all right? He wants to just make sure that she thinks that he might be available. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean, it's an odd thought, but it's possible.
Do you know that Prince William also doesn't wear a wedding ring?
I mean, I wouldn't know. He lives behind those walls, so I have no idea what he's doing.
He doesn't wear one either. He says that he doesn't wear jewelry. He never has in his whole life. Even when he was getting married to Princess Kate, they didn't exchange rings. Because he doesn't have a ring.
I'm just going to say Prince William can do whatever he wants because I already hate the other one's wife now.
Oh.
I'm over you, Meg. Just saying. Just saying.
If you don't wear your wedding ring, why not? What is your reasoning why you don't wear it? Over the weekend, I went out to dinner with my husband and I realized he's not wearing a wedding ring. So I asked him, why aren't you wearing your wedding ring?
Because I have really bad eczema and it was hurting my hands.
How long has it been?
Since what?
You stopped wearing your ring?
Almost 2 months.
2 months he didn't wear his wedding ring and I didn't realize it.
Wow, wow. It could be heartbreaking, but I mean, at least he's got a reason.
Yeah. What's your reason for not wearing your wedding ring? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Dan on Raven.
Yeah, I work in a couple of, been working blue collar jobs all my life. You could lose a finger, and I don't wear a watch either. So if you keep, depending on the equipment you're using, you could tear a finger right off.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I mean, if you're going to lose an appendage, right, if you're going to lose a finger, that's definitely a valid reason. Paul works on a computer at home.
All day.
Yeah, he doesn't leave the house. He actually just rolls over and opens his laptop.
True. He has three laptops in his defense, but neither are going to cut off any of his fingers.
None of them have teeth.
Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. Why don't you wear your wedding ring?
About 2 years ago on our honeymoon, we were swimming in the ocean, and of course, the waves got it off the finger, and it was lost at sea.
The same thing happened to my friend. Lost it on his honeymoon. First day. I guess it happens a lot. Yeah. You're not used to wearing it, and maybe your fingers aren't. Or maybe once you're married, you get fatter. I don't know.
No, skinny. No, I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. I think it's you're just not used to wearing it, and then sometimes it's a little too big, and all it takes is one wave. I always hear these stories. I imagine that wherever the Titanic is, there's also a big barrel of wedding rings next to it.
That's sad, of course, because the people disintegrated
after. No, I'm talking about the ones that washed up from the shore.
Oh, no, that is not what you said.
That's what I meant.
Well, it might be what you meant.
Oh, that's terrible.
You're like the Undertaker down there.
That's not what I meant.
Welcome, stealer of lost treasures from the deep.
Okay.
Grave robber.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why don't you wear your wedding ring?
It's actually my husband who won't wear it. We've been married for about 25 years now. And back when we got married, the thing that was kind of cool was the puzzle rings. And now, obviously, they're not popular anymore. And he thinks it's ugly, and he won't wear it. He refuses.
Just get another one.
What's a puzzle ring?
Oh, you never had a puzzle ring?
No.
There are these rings that it's like a puzzle. You put them together. I don't even know how to describe it. Like they come apart, but it's all one piece, and then you have to get all the different rings and figure out the way to twist them to get them to be the ring. They were very popular for a long time back in the day.
That feels like it's just going to get stuck on my hand hair, right?
I wonder if I still have my
puzzle
ring.
Got more hand hair than others. Does he have hand hair? Has he got hand hair?
Yes, he does. Yeah, he actually does complain about that, too.
What? You're hurting him. You're hurting him.
Why are your knuckles so hairy? So strange. Just buy him another one. Get him like an inexpensive one. Then he doesn't have any excuses.
Or shave those hands.
One or the other. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why don't you wear your wedding ring?
I actually lost the diamond. It fell out. And my husband just replaced it. It was my engagement ring. And he replaced it for our 15-year anniversary. And so I'm, so afraid to wear it now that it's just going to fall out again.
I'm so afraid of losing my diamond. And I don't... I'm not insured. I've been married 16 years. I never insured any of my jewelry.
Alicia, my wife, lost hers a couple times. A couple different diamonds that they came out, like the smaller ones on the side there. And it's insured. And then you have to ship it out. And they give you a loaner, ring or whatever. And it's gone for a month or two.
Your insurance gives you a loaner ring?
Yeah, a lot of times they're not made there at the actual jewelry store. Like, they don't have a jeweler or a craftsman there.
Do they give you a bigger one? or a smaller one? Did they give you a comparable ring?
I'm guessing
ring?
It's around equal value, yes.
Imagine they send you a 4-carat diamond ring. You're like, I am never giving this back.
Sorry, lost that one.
Is that Jennifer Lopez's engagement ring? It's a double-edged sword. You know, it started off as the biggest convenience. It was so great. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. How did we live before this?
And you were supporting the community and all those things. But it was a feel-good feeling we could all get behind. And now we're going broke.
It's Anna and Raven. Food delivery services, Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash. You know, they get all your favorite foods. They deliver them right to your door. You leave the message right in the notes. Leave it at my front door. They text you when it's there. But if you're anything like Raven and I, you've noticed the delivery fees have become astronomical.
Yeah, it's really getting out of control. Now, let's be clear here. First off, the delivery driver has been around for decades, mm-hmm. and we love the delivery driver, and we like to take care of the delivery driver, and I think most people do.
Yep.
They like to tip the delivery driver. What they don't like to do is tip the delivery driver generously on a bill that's been inflated another $15, $17.
Right. So according to some national research, the average fees... $1.89 on Uber Eats. That's just the delivery fee.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
$2.76 on DoorDash.
Totally a lie.
$3.26 on Grubhub.
Getting closer to the truth, but still a lie.
And $3.45 on Postmates. I have gotten to the point now, Raven, where when I'm deciding what I want and I don't want to go out, I will go to each of the apps to see who has the special on the delivery fee, and then I decide what I want to eat based on that.
How is it possible that I get a $25 coupon for Uber Eats and the order is still between $50 and $60 for two people?
So it happened to me this past weekend where one night it was just me and my toddler Dakota. So I was like, okay, I want some food. It was like 6:30 at night and I got my jammies on and all that.
Sure.
So I start looking. I go, I cannot, out of principle, justify ordering food for just me to be delivered and having it cost $50.
I want you to understand that Anna Zapp is not the one that is typically frugal in those matters.
No.
Doesn't care. So you've clearly reached some sort of hump.
So now I have to put on back my bra, which, you know, like once that comes off, like.
Oh, that's the worst. Once I take mine off, I never want to put it back on.
And I got to get in the car to go pick it up. But
oh, my gosh.
But out of principle, it saved me $24. So I actually just did a test right now. I went on to Uber Eats and I put in bacon, egg, and cheese meal from McDonald's.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you know that I'm always good for that.
Because we love us some McDonald's.
I'm down with that.
Yes. All right. So the cost is $8.49. The delivery fee is $1.99.
Uh-huh.
The taxes and fees, this is right now, $3.83.
What?
Add 20% for the tip for the driver, which FYI, the tip suggestions start now at 20% and they go all the way up to 30%.
That's
no
where
more
it
15.
Starts?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So now the total for my one bacon, egg, and cheese meal from McDonald's, $17.17.
That is amazing.
Right.
And terrible at the same time. I mean, that's absolutely terrible. You're not helping the driver by rocketing up the price there. You're hurting them.
Exactly. So I almost want to say, like, that's it. Producer Sean, get in the car and go get us this bacon egg and cheese.
They told us we're not supposed to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's so funny, though, just when you really start evaluating, and I think that they've taken advantage of so many of us, especially during the pandemic, have relied so much on having this food delivered.
If you don't pay the fee, you're not a patriot.
So what is
You're clearly a communist.
So what do you do in this situation? What do you do?
Well, for me personally, anything above like $3, my wife won't let me pay it.
So $3 is
the
threshold?
She hates all the delivery services. Every time she brings up a food that won't deliver, I'm like, hey, let's just do that. And she's like, no, 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 no. That's it. It changes the entire dinner order. I would not be allowed.
Right. Okay, so your threshold is $3.
$3.
I've decided my threshold is $4.99. I refuse to pay more than $5 for a delivery fee.
Right.
But only if I'm ordering for at least two of us. That is my threshold at this point.
I think it's pretty good.
What's yours? You can head to our Facebook page now and let us know. Search Anna and Raven. If you were Raven, what would you do in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. I don't understand how you get yourself into these situations.
You know, I try and be a relatively patient guy when I can. So I go to the grocery store the other day with my wife. We're putting together a nice meal. She's making sauce this week, all right? That's a big thing in the house. So we go to this local grocery store, and they have a great bakery. I enjoy their bakery, but there's a problem with the bakery, Anna.
What?
Even though the bagels and the bread is fantastic, there's always, it seems, only one person in that department, and they always hide in the corner of the department. I'm talking like busy store hours when people are clearly standing there at the counter waiting to talk to this person and ask them about something. They're always buried in a clipboard.
Well, that's, I feel, universal. It's like any department where you need something, whether it be the bakery or the butcher or something, there's only one person always working, and then you have to stand there awkwardly until they finally acknowledge you.
So this is what happens the other day. We're going in for a garlic loaf, right? You know, one of those ones in the foil bag that you're going to bake yourself or whatever. Pretty standard fare for most grocery stores, and they're out of them. So we wait 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes because, of course, this person is looking at their clipboard in the corner of the bakery. They're literally hidden in the furthest corner of it. We say, excuse me, after 5, 6 minutes, because clearly they're not going to come over on their own.
Oh, something on that clipboard is very important.
Right. We ask about garlic bread. She looks, without saying a word, she comes out from behind the counter, looks all over the place, can't find it, grabs some regular loaves and said, I'll make you one. Oh, how nice of her.
That was nice.
Do you have some other items to get? Yes. Go ahead and do those. When you come back, I'll have it ready for you. Yeah. Great.
Isn't it weird when they tell you, like, to come back and you're not really sure how long you have to wander around the grocery
right,
store for?
Right. Like, only if you need one or two things, you're like, oh, God, now I'm stuck here.
15 minutes. I got to kill 15 minutes.
It was exactly like that. So okay. We go off. We do some other shopping, right? We come back. And now there's another woman standing at the bakery counter. And guess what? The baker is back in the corner looking at the clipboard. Mm-hmm. The loaves that she cut open to make the garlic bread, we can see them. They're sitting on the counter over by us by the counter. But she's not paying any attention to those. She's back in the clipboard.
Did she smear the garlic butter and the stuff on the bread yet?
No. The bread is clean. It's okay. Just cut.
Okay.
So this poor woman, who looks like she's been standing there 10 minutes with an anxious look on her face, is looking at us now like, do something. Help me. I'm drowning in this ocean.
Right.
So after 5 minutes again, we try and be patient. My wife says, excuse me. The woman comes back over. This lady was here first. Please take care of her. She takes care of that woman, gets her what she need. And then she looks at my wife and goes, can I help you? Same person.
She didn't recognize you.
Same person. It's been 10, 12 minutes, I swear.
Well, sometimes with the masks, it's hard to tell.
Okay. Yes. Hi. Yeah, we were here for the garlic bread again. Oh, yeah. She's like, yeah, a customer called me away. Yeah, we know. We were standing here, mm-hmm. and you were ignoring her. Right. So, okay, she goes and she gets the tub of the garlic butter and all that
the
stuff.
The smear.
Right. She's wearing gloves, okay, that she was wearing while she's working on the clipboard, also eating a little bit of a snack, some potato chips, it looks like.
Oh.
She moves the baking rack, this big metal rolling rack, in and out of the oven. She's touching a lot of stuff, and then she pops the top off of the butter mixture, sticks her hand in there all the way.
With the glove?
Yes.
Okay.
And then starts to spread it all over the bread. This is clearly disgusting. This is clearly not the safest way to do that. What do we say? Because this person may be in the middle of some sort of episode.
So now you're faced. Do you voice up and say something? Do you take the bread? Do you reject the bread? What do you do at this point when she has basically taken her dirty clipboard hands and smeared the smeared garlic butter all over the bread?
That's going in my mouth, man. That's gross.
If you were in this situation, what would you do? If you were Raven, what would you do in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. Stand on Raven, a trip to the grocery store to pick up some delicious garlic bread. And then what happened, Raven?
Well, we're standing there. We're at the bakery. It takes 10 minutes to get the person's attention that's behind the counter there. There's no garlic bread made. She nicely offers to make us some garlic bread. Take a walk. Go do your shopping and come back. 10 minutes later, we come back. The woman seemingly has forgotten all about us, but the bread is still there cut. She takes her gloved hands that were watching her touch all these things, clipboard, metal racks, all these things, throws it right into the garlic mixture and starts spreading it right on the loaf. My wife says, no!
What would you do in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna on Raven.
So it's so funny that this is the situation you're dealing with. My husband has been in this situation more than once, and he's a massive germaphobe. He basically yells at the person and says, change your glove and then touch a new one. I don't want that one anymore. You contaminated it.
Anna on Raven, what would you have done in this situation?
Oh, I would have went and talked to a manager. I used to work in a bakery, and there's no way that someone should be doing that. That's so disgusting.
Yeah.
See, she would have went over her head.
Right. That's next level.
Yeah.
It's next level right there. You're going up the chain of command.
No, you would have to. You know, because a person like that's not going to get it until she hears it from her manager. And something like that should be reported, especially now with COVID. There's no way that should be happening.
Take this instance out of the equation here. Here's the problem. I don't know if I could ever get garlic bread there again now. That's the thing that worries me going ahead.
Anna and Raven, what would you have done?
In that situation, I probably wouldn't have said anything right about that. It's disgusting that what's happening. I mean, her not doing her job, her ignoring people. There's a good thing about that. That bread is going to go in the oven at 400 degrees for 8 minutes. Nothing is going to live a bacteria. So if you want your bread, you just take it. However, you have to be really careful with this kind of service when you go to deli, when you take raw food. So the whole thing is obnoxious, but if I just want that bread because it's a good thing, the bread is going to go in the oven and anything that is lived off that surface is going to die.
Yes.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning.
Well,
I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Well,
all right?
I like her thought process.
Sometimes you get the cheese in the bread and the cheese doesn't even melt all the way. So how is that cooking off anything that might be in there?
No, I agree with her. If you're going to cook it and then it's fine, it'll do it. But if you're going to like touch a piece of my salami, then maybe be questionable. Now, I have to be honest with you. After listening to all those callers that called in, I would not have done any of that. I would have been quiet. I would have smiled. I would have said thank you. I would have bought the garlic bread. I would have went home. And the truth of the matter is I'm not that big of a germaphobe. I'm actually not a germaphobe.
So you would have licked it. You would have licked that lady's glove. You would have been sensually eating that disgusting gloved garlic bread.
I would just put it in the oven and I had the same thought process as hers. Like, the heat is going to kill it. We can move on. But the question is, what did you do?
Well, I didn't do that at all. My wife said no immediately. She didn't actually even paraphrase or explain what the statement no meant. When the lady grabbed the glove, reached into the garlic butter and started spreading on the bread, she simply said no. And the woman looked up and she said, you know what? Could you please change your gloves and use a knife? And the woman was so mad, huffed and puffed, took off her gloves, used a knife, handed us the bread after it was done, after wrapping it, putting the tag on it, and said, I change my gloves every 5 minutes. To which my wife replied, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. I was standing there for 10.
So the truth of the matter is, it's not actually what you did. It's you hid behind your wife, Alicia, and let her make the shots.
Have you met my wife?
Right.
That's what I always do.
I actually should have put my money on that happening. Raven is a nozzle facer. He's a weirdo.
What? Don't start a statement like that, all right? Because people could take that and twist that around in all sorts of nonsense.
I'm a nozzle facer. It's Anna and Raven.
Explain what that means.
Okay, all this keeps coming up year after year. And when Twitter was divided over it again recently, it brought up something really fascinating to me. That people still have this argument. You walk into the bathroom. You got to take a shower, okay? You undress, you got your towel. You put your towel wherever you put it. You turn on the water, you get in. Are you staring at the nozzle, having the water smack you in the face as hard as it can when you're taking a shower? Or do you gingerly turn around like a normal person and have it hit your back so you can enjoy your time in the shower?
I love it when Anna does this, when she acts like she's going to talk from a neutral position, but she actually skews the entire conversation before it even begins by saying, you're crazy if you do it this way, or do you do it this wonderful way?
Well, there was a poll about it, and it turns out, based on this poll, 64% of people face away from the water like I do.
Well, you're soft. You're soft then, all right?
21% of people face the faucet, nozzle facer, like Raven.
Yeah.
And then if you're doing the math, it means that 15% of people do something else, and I don't know what that is.
Let me give you an example here, okay? Mm-hmm. You go to a car wash, right? You don't wash your car by hand, typically. You go to a car wash?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you go to the car wash, do you pull forward into it, or do you back into the car wash?
Well, it's a funny thing, Raven. See, I'm a human being, and my car is made of metal.
Right, so you drive ahead, though, right? Because that's the part that you look out of. That's your windshield. It's forward-facing where your hood ornament should be. And frankly, it's the place where it should be the cleanest, right, too? Because that's the thing that the rest of the world sees. That's why you put your face towards the water so it can rain down upon you. Also, you're forgetting the nice, relaxing effect of being under a waterfall.
Am I the only one that feels like I'm drowning when the water hits me in the face all the time? I just feel like it's like a drowning sensation, like I can't breathe. Like it's coming at you and you're like, I can't breathe. Get it out of my eyes.
I'm relaxing underneath a waterfall. Oh. I know if you close your eyes, you can imagine it. There's me under a waterfall. Wow.
But
clearly,
it's
I'm doing this the right way.
I don't know. Are you a nozzle facer weirdo like Raven, or do you turn your back like the other 64% of people, the majority? Or better yet, the bigger question is, if you're one of the 15% that don't do either, What are you doing
what are
in the
you
shower?
Doing? Right.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's coming up next with Anna and Raven.
Just close your eyes and imagine for
it's
a
hitting
moment.
Me in the face! Does it sound better if I taunt you like this? Raven is a nozzle facer.
That would get you pushed down in the playground.
It
certainly
Anna
would.
Raven. All right. So which way do you face when you get into the shower? According to a new poll, 64% of people face away from the water. That's what I do. It walks in, it hits my back so I can enjoy the shower. 21% of people face the faucet, a.k.a. nozzle facers.
That's right. I'm washing off my body. This is my hood ornament right here. My nose is my hood ornament. 15, clean up the windshield.
15% of people say they do something different. The question is also, is what is that something different? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do you do?
Well, I do go in face forward, but it doesn't have to hit me exactly in the face. And then I turn around.
Right. You have the freedom of pivoting your face. Thank you, ma'am.
Do you dodge and hit in that area where the shower head is going over you like a waterfall, so you're in this little area of no water coming down at you?
Well, maybe from time to time she does it. She spouts up like a dolphin in a show. That's what I do. Sometimes I want the water on the face. Sometimes I need it a second.
It's like the hokey pokey.
Exactly.
She puts her right foot in, her right foot out, and that's what she washes.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do?
I'm part of the 15%. When I go in with my body facing, but I tilt my head to the side. I don't let the water hit my face.
No. See,
but it hits my back. I feel like it's too cold.
No, you're with us. You're with the nozzle facers. It's just that you are more gifted.
She doesn't want to be called a nozzle facer.
Don't be resentful of the fact that you are a nozzle facer. You're a nozzle facing dodger, though.
She's a dodger.
That's what you are. You're a dodger. I mean, the other 15%, I think, is going in sideways. I don't know what they're doing.
My daughter wants to tell you she goes in backwards, though.
All right. Well, tell your daughter that, thank goodness,
crazy
somebody
person.
Has
Raise
some.
Her better.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do?
I'm probably the something else.
What do you do?
When you get in, you do the front, and then you turn, and you do the back, and then you could. It's like backwards and forward. You're, like, constantly doing that. It all depends on, like, what body part you're washing at that moment.
There's a name for you. It's called a spinner. That's a real thing. There's people that go in there and they're
Watch
called
this.
Spinners.
This is a family program.
Yeah. No, they're shower spinners. No. You go in and you rotate in a circle, like 360 degrees. That's real.
You are a naughty polyamorous
shower spinner. We just keep on, we move a lot. We just switch it over.
Right.
We don't just stay in one position, just, you know, whatever.
I have respect for spinners more than I do nozzle facers. Anna and Raven, what do you do?
I go in face first, but I also think it depends on how tall you are. Because when I go in face first, the water's not hitting my face.
Right.
You're going in and you're on the shorter end, then it does hit you in the face, so you may be more likely to go backwards.
I'm only 5'2", so I guess that makes sense, is that I'm being discriminated against by my shower head because it reaches peak smack me in my face, right?
I mean, what are you? You're in a small shower. Like, how tall is that thing?
I don't know.
Get that pipe a little bit higher.
Gosh, I never thought about this. I never thought my height was a problem here. Anna and Raven, what do you do in the shower?
Hi. Sitting here doing a Zoom meeting, and I could not help but call in.
Are you a forward facer or a back facer?
Oh, I face straight in.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's how America got built, sir.
Glutton for punishment.
You didn't wash the crud out of the eyeball first.
That's true. Clear them out.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Megan and Dennis. Megan, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Well, my husband and I are having a little bit of a disagreement. I am working from home right now, and my salary basically just covers childcare costs. My husband thinks I should quit my job because it doesn't really make sense, but I don't really want to. You know, it makes me kind of sad to think about losing my career. I don't know if I'd be able to jump back in if I ever wanted to, so that's kind of where we're at.
Dennis, what's your side of this?
Well, you know, my side of this is financially, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, essentially, she's working for free while we pay somebody else to watch our kid, but she wants to spend more time with her daughter, which I'm all about. I can easily afford all the other bills that we have. It's not necessarily I think that she won't be able to jump back into her career. It's just about to put it on hold for a while. This is part of life. We have a child now. And, you know, during this pandemic, we both realized that we're kind of spending a pointless amount of money just to have somebody else watch our kid, and we can't watch her grow up. And I would much rather have her mother watch her grow up and spend more time with her.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, financially, it makes practical sense and when you're looking at it, but it sounds like you made up your mind that was the great idea. Like, I mean, she still has trepidations, obviously, about what this is going to mean for her future, because jumping back in can be more difficult, certainly.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, not just with your mode, but just getting back into any professional career.
How old is your little one?
She's 2.
So if you have to wait till kindergarten, you have to wait 3 more years.
3 years, and then you're out of the workforce for 3 years.
Yeah.
And who knows how the workforce is going to change over those 3
years. Exactly. Not going to be keeping up with, like, you know, the current situation in my field. Yeah. And while I do want to spend more time with my daughter, I also want to be something other than a mom. You know, it's really important to me to have something other than, right, like, to identify with, you know, like, if I'm just a mom, it can get really depressing. You know, I need something to be creative and have my mind working. And
I always say that stay-at-home moms have the hardest job. Like, I don't know how I could do that all the time. I kind of see every side of this, although I also see wanting to spend more time with your kids. God knows I feel that every day.
Anna, you know what I think just is this time in life, this just, everybody is having a very hard time working from home. And obviously, you know, cuts have been made all over the place. It's not to say grin and bear it, you know, you're lucky you have it, but I also believe that those that work through this come out on the other end stronger. That's just kind of my thought.
Well, we'll see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Megan, that if you want to keep yourself working and doing your job, it's your career. Who cares if you're not making extra money? But they may see Dennis's side, too. If you're only making enough to cover the daycare costs, then be at home with your child and enjoy these years while you have them. Between pay cuts and working from home, Megan really only makes enough money now to cover daycare costs for her 2-year-old daughter.
Now, that's a common problem.
Yeah, it is. Daycare is expensive, and a lot of times you're working to cover those fees. Now, her husband, Dennis, says, listen, I make enough. Why don't you just quit? Stay home with the baby. You said you always wanted to do that anyway, but she's afraid that if she does that, it's going to derail her career in the future when she's ready to go back to work, and she's not really ready to make that leap just yet.
I think Megan's thinking about the fact, too, is here, you've been home right now working from home, and those pressures are quite a bit. Throw a baby into the mix while you're trying to work from home, too. Maybe it's just too much for her at this time.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Hi, I'm on the dad side, for sure. I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years, and those years went by so fast, and I was so happy to be able to be home with my 4 children. And now, I mean, it took some time, but I got back into the workforce, and now I have a great career. And my oldest is a senior, and he's leaving this year, and I'm so glad I had all those years with them.
It's a problem a lot of families are facing. Megan's pay has been cut because of COVID. So now she's working from home and her salary basically just covers daycare costs. Hmm. And Dennis says, well, then why are you working?
Right. It's the perfect time for you to leave your job. You wanted to spend more time with the baby anyways. I'd rather have you spending more time with our child than a stranger. These are formative years. We won't get them back. But Megan is worried if she steps back, she's going to lose a part of herself and her standing in the business.
And does Dennis, as a husband, really have a say over what she does with her career? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm definitely on her side 100%. Well, first of all, because she's not sure she wants to do it. And she has got to be in agreement with her husband. Everything that she's saying about professionally losing her space and missing those years and falling behind. And mentally, it's so hard to be a stay-at-home mom. And it also can be really taxing on a marriage. And if she wants to keep that pride in her job and she's not sure she wants to do it, she should definitely stay working.
You really don't want to rush, right? Because resentment is a real thing. Yeah. And you'll be like, I did this because you told me to, right? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hi, Tiana and Raven. Whose side are you on?
The husband. If she chose to be a mom, be a mom. And if she's only making enough money to pay for daycare, then stay home and be the mom that she chose to be.
Hi, Tiana and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Yes, good morning. I'm on the wife's side. It's not always about the money. It's about peace of mind. It's her career. How would he feel if he had to give up his career, something he loved? Especially in these times, you need something, you know, and it makes you more interesting, whether you're working for money, for volunteering. And I think you bring more to rearing a child when you're interesting and when you're happy.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Megan, our audience agreed with you. Ultimately, this is your decision. This is your career. Unfortunate as it may be, if you have to take the pay cut and kind of go through the motions right now, that's what it is. And Dennis, you're going to have to be okay with that.
I get it.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad that people understand where I'm coming from.
You know, I'm sure you're going to have days where you think that you've made the best decision, and you are going to have other days where you are ready to walk right at that moment, all right, and slam the laptop closed and say, that's it, I'm done with it. So it's all up to you, and you can decide again down the road. You don't have to feel like you're locked into anything permanently ever.
Right.
So good luck with that.
Thanks.
And Dennis, you're good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I mean, it's one of those situations. We got to do what we got to do. And I obviously want my wife, you know, my partner to be happy.
Right.
And I don't want her to just be a mother. I want her to be still herself as well. And so I will completely agree with her on this. And we'll figure it out as we always do.
If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, Caroline.
Caroline, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Yes, Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Caroline.
All right, Caroline, we have $1,500 on the line. Raven is walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. You have 3 seconds for each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You beat him, $1,500, but you got to beat him. You can't tie. Ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, JoJo Siwa announced that she is a proud member of the LGBTQ community. Her product named JoJo Juice was recently taken off store shelves after some controversy. What is JoJo Juice?
A board game.
Number two, Miley Cyrus will host the inaugural TikTok tailgate, a pre-show performance at the Super Bowl for healthcare workers in attendance. What iconic performer did she record a duet for their mashup song, Edge of Midnight?
Evie Nick.
Number three, Coca-Cola with coffee just landed nationwide. The cans are a mix of Coke and coffee. What was the color of the button in the Oval Office that reportedly summoned a Diet Coke for former President Trump?
Red.
Number four, Ryan Reynolds tweeted an R-rated joke about his time on Sesame Street when he played the letter A. What 2005 Ryan Reynolds horror film that has the letter A in it is based on the book by Jay Anson? Time's up.
Oh, no.
Okay. And number five, Billie Eilish spent $35 on Fruit Loops when she ordered them online because she says she didn't know how much they actually cost. What company makes Fruit Loops?
General Mills.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
Oh, my God.
Caroline got 3 out of 5.
Not too good. Let's see how I... It's not too bad. $1,500. Here we go.
Number one, JoJo Siwa announced that she's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
Good for her.
Her product, named JoJo Juice, was recently taken off store shelves after some controversy.
Hmm.
What is JoJo Juice?
It was a board game with Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Number two, I didn't think you'd know that. Number two, Miley Cyrus will host the inaugural TikTok tailgate, a pre-show performance at the Super Bowl for the healthcare workers in attendance.
Cool.
What iconic performer did she record a duet for their mashup song, Edge of Midnight?
Stevie Nicks.
Yep.
Yeah, goes with 17.
Yes. Number three, Coca-Cola with coffee just launched nationwide. The cans are a mix of Coke and coffee. What was the color of the button in the Oval Office that reportedly summoned a Diet Coke for former President Trump?
It's red.
Yep. Ryan Reynolds tweeted an R-rated joke about his time on Sesame Street when he played the letter A.
Hmm.
What 2005 Ryan Reynolds horror film that has the letter A in it is based on the book by Jay Anson?
Is it Amityville? Amityville Horror?
Yes!
That's a creepy remake, too, if you haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. You guys are tied.
So angry.
Oh, you're not.
I think I'm winning.
Usually you don't get literature. You never read anything.
Yeah,
literally.
But I watch horror films.
Okay. And number five... Billie Eilish spent $35 on Fruit Loops when she ordered them online because she didn't know how much they cost.
Wow.
What company makes Fruit Loops?
Is it Kellogg?
Yes, Kellogg is correct.
Thank you, 5 for 5. What?
Oh, my gosh.
Boom!
Ugh. Caroline, he beat you 5-3 this morning. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Caroline. Hold on the line. We're going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to. Naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone.
smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.